Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk. This is the podcast devoted to the hit CBS show, Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is my evil twin of my co-host, Tim.
I'm not evil.
Yeah, okay.
You're evil.
Yeah, sure.
And no, I did not wash my hands.
Yeah.
Because I'm evil. Because
I'm evil. Ooh, good pull.
Thanks.
Good justly pull. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Fine.
Not
You're just
fine.
Fine.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
It's whatever.
It's fine.
Can we just get this over with? Like, God.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What's over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Can we do some feedback? Can we do some follow-ups?
Sure.
All right.
I can't hear you in my microphone. I can't hear you in my headphones.
Some technical difficulties.
This is going to be fun.
I will speak up for you, old man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we had some follow-up from last week about our Bizarro episode. As always, thank you guys who write in regularly. We really appreciate it. SupergirlTVTalk@gmail.com.
I really appreciate that Frank reads all the emails.
I do.
And I get to listen to them cold.
We go through, you know, it's a labor of love. Someone's got to do it, and I love doing it. So we've got a couple. Actually, I have a couple emails and a tweet that I also want to read. So you can tweet us at TV Supergirl. I'll start with the tweet, actually. Rainmaker sent us this theory. New Supergirl theory. Non is introducing Brainiac to Earth, which is the virus he inserted into the Lord servers.
Mm.
Interesting. Interesting theory.
I don't think that's way off base.
I don't think it's way off base either.
No.
Yeah, I really like this. So thank you, Rainmaker, for tweeting us at TV Supergirl if you have any thoughts. But going back to our usual email, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com, Dave emailed us. He said he made some good points here. First of all, you know, Kara's reasons for dumping Adam. You know, by that logic, she could never be in any relationship ever. So like right. that's a valid.
It's true. This is the young heroes thing. I can't be with anyone because I'm
right.
selfless and noble.
Yes.
And then eventually they'll be like, you know what? I'm going to be selfish. Damn it.
yeah, exactly. And that's what leads them to make some reckless decision. Like, I don't know, breaking up your photographer friend from his girlfriend and dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe something like that.
But it's fine because she's married to Channing Tatum. She'll get over it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She'll be fine.
She'll be fine. In fact, she may be better.
Yeah. 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 You know, Sophie's choice. Also, the ending fight with Bizarro, it's a great scene, but, would have been good to see Kara fighting back more in the comic. You know, she would have pretty much destroyed her, which is, I think, a good point that it was more of like an evenly matched struggle in this case, where I feel like in the comics, it's usually more of like, Superman beats Bizarro really more easily than this, or Supergirl beats Bizarro Girl more easily than this.
Yeah, but I don't think maybe that doesn't make
for necessarily good drama.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, where there was no villain that Carr had. She was like struggling to beat.
Yeah,
and so I think that there needs to be like she needs to be at least equally matched or struggle a bit. Otherwise, there is no problem that she can't solve by punching it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. Another thing he points out that I think is actually kind of funny. She leaves her window open all the time and just like flies in. And like one day a neighbor is going to see Supergirl flying in the window.
I thought that too. That's such a good point. Like she doesn't super speed into the apartment. She's like, I will casually fly into this apartment, this random apartment. Even though I'm Supergirl, I just like to squat.
At this
random apartment.
I also feel like nothing good ever happens. This is my own observation. I feel like nothing good ever happens when she comes into her apartment in her Supergirl costume.
Right.
Like, she comes in, she sits down, she eats pizza with Alex. Max Lord finds out who she is. She comes in, you know, pouty and upset about what just happened.
Black Mercy. Mercy.
Like, bad things just keep happening
true.
Every
she
time.
Really is, she really is 0-2.
Yeah,
isn't she?
I'm taking note of this now, and I'm like, like
so
from
maybe
now
you should
on.
Super speed into the bedroom.
Well, yeah.
Or out to the studio. Or just, so maybe you should super speed behind that curtain and change.
Sure, whatever. But I'm just like, maybe every time, like, what if that's like a silent omen to us? Like, every time she's in her costume, something bad's about to happen. In her apartment. I don't know. It's just my own funny.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think also potentially they needed her in costume for this episode.
That's actually the reason.
Yeah.
But it's just my own little headcanon. Every time she's in, you know, it's like red shirts or something.
Right.
We got an email.
Kella was in a red shirt this episode.
Who was? Kella. Womp womp.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well.
Sorry.
We got an email here. We guess what we forgot to do, Tim.
I
on last week's podcast.
Take over the world?
No, Pinky.
Oh.
But we did forget to do a Cat Grant quote of the week.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
We didn't do a Cat Grant quote of the week.
But I write them all down.
I put them aside as well. But we did not do a Cat Grant quote of the week. And I realized it after we released the episode. But yes, Scott wrote to us and told us, I hope I'm not adding to a flood of emails regarding this, but you forgot to do the Cat Grant quote of the week last week. I asked Scott, what was your favorite quote? And Scott said, in Cat's office, Kara goes, Miss Grant, could I please have a minute alone with Adam? And Cat goes, oh, well, I guess I'll roam the hallways of my building.
I did. I did enjoy that. I also enjoy, I think mine would have been the, I've been worried sick about you. I ordered an Amber Alert.
That was mine.
Yeah.
Good. That was mine.
Yeah, it was one of those two for sure.
Yeah, that was mine. So yeah, thank you, Scott, for reminding us.
Yeah, thank you. I can't believe we forgot. That's my favorite segment.
I know, me too. Me too. I always look forward to it, actually, like every week.
But
we did forget. We also got a couple of, we didn't get the flood of emails that Scott referred to, but we did get a couple of tweets also reminding us about that. So thank you to, I remember Bree wrote to us and a few other people. So thank you guys.
I'm glad that segment just isn't for us.
That's, I'm glad that it's resonating and people miss it when it's gone.
That's good.
So,
yeah. It was a test. You all passed.
See, we totally did that on purpose, you guys. What else? The other thing I do on purpose is I check Supergirl.tv every single day.
That was the best segue you've ever done.
Yeah. Well,
continue with your ad.
Just stand in awe of it and just move on. It's cooler that way. It's cooler that way. God, Tim.
No.
Sorry, my Chris Farley. But yeah, no, I do. I check Supergirl.tv every day, and I love going to the site and seeing what's new with Supergirl, finding out what, you know, how the ratings did the night before, or seeing the clips and the trailers for the upcoming episodes, or reading interviews with the cast and seeing the spoilers for upcoming episodes, that we can be, you know, on top of our game and know what's coming up next. Always love checking the site. It's a labor of love. It's done by fans. It's done by great guys. And they've always been super nice to us, and we've really, really benefited and enjoyed reading their site regularly. And, you know, we tweet out their content whenever we see their stuff go up first, and they usually have it up pretty early. So it's a great source of all your Supergirl news. We love it. We go there all the time. So Supergirl.tv, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Supergirl.tv for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk this week, and actually every episode this season so far. So thank you, guys.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we crack open your little red notebook? And by the way, I'm not joking. Tim has a little red notebook.
I do. The little red moleskin where he keeps his... We can tweet it out later if you don't believe me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The little red notebook. And you write in red pen too, don't you?
This was the one that was working. If you notice a little bit above the title, there's a little mark like, why won't my blue pen work? But whatever. So I'm going to decipher this red text against this red notebook.
Yeah, let's see how that goes.
Thank God the pages aren't red.
Yeah.
All right. So this episode, we are on episode 13. So this is like, if a half season show, this would be it.
Right. That's right. If we hadn't gotten the full season pickup, this would have been where the finale would have been.
Right. I wonder what they would have cut.
I don't know.
Probably would have cut Bizarro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a couple other things.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Not my job.
Maybe
to
they would
decide.
Have ended it with, I don't know. Yeah. Who knows?
Not my job to decide. So this is for the girl who has everything.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-based off of Superman Annual number 11 from 1985, which is Alan Moore of Batman the Killing Joke and Watchmen fame.
That's right.
Also artist Dave Gibbons of Watchmen
fame. Watchmen fame, yep.
And Kingsman fame, if people saw Kingsman the Secret Service.
Right.
And so the issue basically follows that Superman is attacked by the Black Mercy by another alien, and he goes into this fantasy and blah blah blah. And so that's basically where the core of it ends.
Yeah. That general structure.
The general structure is there, it's right in the opening scenes. The first thing that I noticed that she is actively fighting against the fantasy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly didn't like that.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't like that. I would have liked her to just be in it and not
just
even know
it.
That something was different until Alex got there. Because I don't think her separation, like her letting go, feels as sad because she already had a preconception of it not being real. And so that part I didn't care for. The rest of it I really liked. I just didn't. I really like this episode, actually, but I didn't care for that. I really wish that she was just stuck in it and just accepted
Interesting.
It. Yeah.
I will say that this format of having the person like know that something's up and then forget and then come back around to fighting it.
Right.
Is a little bit more of a commonly done thing on TV.
Right.
Like whenever there is some kind of a like you're crazy episode or whatever.
Like, no, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I guess I'm normal. Oh, wait, no, I was crazy.
Yeah.
It's a very basic structure.
Yeah. So I will say that's, you know, it's not the most original idea. Like Smallville kind of did it too, where they had an episode where Clark is in like an insane asylum and he's like, wait, this is not, I don't belong in here.
Right.
And then by the end, he's like, wait, I was right. I didn't belong in here the whole time.
Right.
Like, but they try to convince him that he does. It's kind of a similar thing. Like they get sucked in and then they figure it out.
Right. I prefer it. Like they just have no conception of being.
Yeah, but I do find it a little more believable that at the end she would be like, wait a second, that is my sister, and that is like, you know,
that's
I
true.
Do miss my friends.
That's true. It made more sense when Alex showed up.
Yeah.
But before, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I really was more under the impression that she was going to have to come to this realization on her own, like just something wasn't right,
mm-hmm.
and that she would have to leave all on her own free will, which I think would have been harder and more tragic. But this episode is really Alex's episode.
Yes,
I
it
think.
Is. Yes.
Like
yes.
A couple, like we've had, now we had a couple, we had a James episode.
That's right.
And then we had a Wynn episode.
Yep.
And then we had a Hank episode. And this is Alex's
the Alex
episode.
Episode. Yeah, this is
for the girl who has everything is not.
It's not Kara.
It's not Kara. It's Alex.
That's right.
Because her everything
is
Kara.
Kara.
Right.
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
Could not agree more.
So, yeah. So, I liked that twist on it. But if I... And so, maybe watching it without that comic knowledge, I maybe would have been like, oh, okay, this is just how we're rolling. But I just missed... I think it missteps with Kara where it takes a few steps forward with Alex.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's perfectly valid. Yeah.
That being said, I really like this. And know why? Because we got a super sweet CG Kallax.
Yes, we did get Kallax.
Yeah, we got a Kallax. I did not expect that.
I
actually rewound it right at the beginning of the episode. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Kallax, for people who don't know, is the John, when John Byrne took over in the 80s.
Yeah, 86.
He retold the origin of Krypton and Superman and all that, and they had these little floaty robots, and the one that worked for the L's was Kallax. Kallax can also be seen in Man of Steel.
That's
it's that
right.
weird pin needle
technology
thing.
Except they call him Kallax in the movie.
They do say Kallax.
Yeah. Threw me off. But yes, it's always been Kallax as far as I've been concerned. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, we got a Kallax. I thought that was super cool.
That was a really cool little.
It was
little...
also really. I thought the CG was really nice on that.
Yeah, it looked really good.
I felt like for whatever reason, they're like, oh, now we know where budget goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
you know what? Maybe they've kind of.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They figure out how to allocate those things a little better.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm going to come back to that in a second.
Though. Okay.
Or not in a second, probably in minutes.
I think I know where you're going. Yeah.
So she apparently, Kara apparently had Argo fever, and that's why she was hallucinating. But
Argo fever.
Argo fever, named after Argo City.
Yeah,
I would think so. Do you think they're in Argo City, or are they...
I'm trying to remember if they've said anything. I don't think they specifically said, but the... Zor-El and his family, which is Kara's dad and her family, typically are either in Argo City, sometimes they're in Kandor.
Yeah.
If you remember in Supergirl the movie...
They're in Argo City.
They were in Argo City?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah...
I'm going to roll with that they're in Kandor. That's my assumption.
Okay.
I'm going to say that they're in Kandor and that Argo fever comes from Argo City. Like
okay.
There was a big plague or something like that.
Sure.
Something like that. I thought the establishing, like this is the, I think the most we've seen of Krypton. You know, we saw a couple different rooms. We saw some hallways. We saw some nice establishing shots.
Right.
It looks really nice and maybe a little less like, it's a vaguely futuristic city. You know, maybe it has a little bit more character to it now, like even in like the skyscraper that they're in.
Yeah. It definitely has more character.
Yeah. Do you think her family owns that whole building?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what
probably
I hadn't thought about that.
But they seem to have like rooms available to them for like imprisonment and stuff.
Hmm.
It's an odd thing to have in your home.
Not if maybe you're Zor-El.
Maybe they live in a government building or something like that. Like it's like Avengers Tower.
Maybe.
Or something, you know what I mean? Where they have those rooms. I don't know. I had a hard time figuring that out. But you know what? It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not important.
Yeah, it's really not important at all. I thought Carl looked really good for having a fever. Just saying, exactly.
Your hair is perfect.
Yeah. You're still wearing your earrings. It's like it's really nice. You have a nice look about
you.
How do you
still have makeup on?
Fever. Yeah. But it's okay. Yeah. Television and
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Just mom there, yeah, like fine. Putting in earrings. It's like, oh, you'll be better soon. Now let me just apply this rest of this rouge here. Like, just what is happening? Yeah.
That is such a funny image of like Laura Benanti just putting makeup on a sleeping Melissa Benoist.
Yeah. Just shh, it be okay. Yeah. Mommy here. And so Kara has not checked into work, right? And so she's not there, you know, and they're like, maybe we should go investigate at home. And so they call Alex and they're like, do you have a key? And she's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she kicks down the door.
I love that. That was a great moment.
It's a great moment. Begs the question, does Alex actually have a key, or is that how she actually gets into Kara's apartment every time? Game of Thrones and pizza night. Bam. Because last time we saw her in an apartment, like she was ready and Kara flew in through the window and she was already in the apartment. Is that how she gets in?
That is so true.
She just kicks the door in every time. The neighbors are just used to it now. They're like, oh, that's
that
just
girl
Alex.
Again. It's that girl who has everything again except the keys.
Who wants to watch Homeland? Boom.
Boom.
I enjoyed it, though. So they think it's Maxwell Lord at first, right?
Yeah.
I can understand why they thought it was Maxwell
Lord. I do, too.
Lord.
Her reasoning, she was like, you did Bizarro. That didn't work, so now you tried this.
Yeah, I get that. I thought the Black Mercy looked a little too alien to be Maxwell, like, Lord.
A DEO agent should know, like, oh, this looks alien.
This is an alien.
This is not of this earth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they first encountered Bizarro, it just looked like Kara.
Right.
So, and that their first reaction was even like, maybe it's a shapeshifter,
right?
Like an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but this, they're like, it's obviously Maxwell Lord, mm-hmm. you know,
but
so,
still,
but that's to me, he's in their head.
Yeah. Exactly. And they had just gotten off the Bizarro thing. I mean, literally the same day, right? So, like,
right. Oh, it is the same day.
Yeah.
Oh, what a long day.
Although maybe it was the next day because she didn't show up to work and then they went to check on her, right? Mm. So it was the next day. But still,
it's
fresh in your mind.
It's less than 24 hours from the time that Bizarro got captured to when they found her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, what a long day.
Yeah.
So glad that's not my life.
Yeah.
So then we get some Astra and nonsense. Got some Astra and nonsense.
Oh, puns.
That's coming
clever
back.
Puns.
That's
clever
coming
puns.
Back later.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not going away until Nan goes away. like Astra. Anyway. Oh. So we get a Myriad drop. What is Myriad?
Yes.
What are these things? What do you think Myriad is, Frank?
It's a myriad of things, Tim. It can be anything you want it to be.
It's a well done. That was not pure nonsense.
No, it was not that nonsense. It was Frank sense.
It was Frank sense.
TM.
It was Frank incense.
Oh.
Smelling good.
But wait.
Right.
There's myrrh.
I love that meme.
Me too.
So much. His little face, his little smirk.
He's so proud of himself.
He is. And so if people don't know what we're talking about, you can find it online. It's excellent.
Yes.
It's the wise men meme. Who sent in that tweet? I can't recall. That you read out, but they said that they think Myriad has something to do with Brainiac. I'm on board with this. I don't know if it's Brainiac per se. I saw online, like, are there rumors of Brainiac showing up on?
I have seen rumors, but this tweet from Rainmaker is the first time I've seen it expressed this way.
Yeah,
which I like.
Yeah, it could be. I like when Brainiac comes from Krypton.
Yes,
even though
too.
He doesn't in the comics, he's an alien. He has his own planet and
Kalu.
All that. Kalu, yeah.
Kalua.
Kalikimaka is the thing to say.
on a Brainiac day.
Right. But I like the Superman animated series from the 90s.
It's my favorite Brainiac.
Yeah, where Brainiac is responsible for the destruction of Krypton and all this stuff. It's that's Prime. That's my favorite canon for that.
Yeah.
I don't think that Brainiac in this would be responsible for the destruction of Krypton, though, because if Astra wouldn't align themselves with Brainiac if he was responsible for their...
And they were like...
That would just be nonsense.
No, it wouldn't...
I told you it was coming back.
With a vengeance.
I've ruined that word for you more than
even I know. I think... Because, like, we have the whole backstory that Astra was an eco-terrorist.
Right.
Right? So, like, she wouldn't... She was trying to protect the planet.
Right.
And trying to...
The people.
She was trying to save the planet, the environment anyway, and she was like, she felt like
the people.
The people were you know, like scientists like Jor-El and stuff were not being attentive to what was happening to the planet. So I don't think she would align herself with Brainiac unless Brainiac was tricking them the same way Brainiac tricked Jor-El in the animated series.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe they just said,
like, oh, yeah, I'm totally
know.
On your side. I definitely it's don't want your friend to get destroyed.
8th level intelligence, 11th level,
12th level,
12th level intelligence. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's really interesting. I don't know.
Like, we're like, no, he wasn't 8th level. He wasn't a mere 8th level intelligence
mere
pauper. 8th
level. He's obviously a 12th.
Come on,
know,
man.
Foiled by people who are not 12th level intelligence every time. Silly Brainiac.
Silly 8s.
Yep. Tricks are for kids. So anyway, so. So Kara is, and that was, we're back in her little dream.
Yeah.
And she is questioning, you know, like, are these things real? And non-holographic mom is like, oh, everything's real. Remember this little toy that you made? This excellently metalworked toy that you made?
And you were so unhappy that it wasn't perfect enough because you
were. And Kara is like, wow, I had excellent metalworking skills. Where did those go when I arrived on Earth? Because this is quality 3D printing stuff, right?
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. It was excellent excellent metalwork.
It was.
My Pepe would have been really proud of something like that. He taught shop.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. But it was like, oh, wow. Like, what is this? Like, I made you this statue. I made you this bludgeoning device.
I know. Yeah.
That the one-armed man used to kill Richard Kimball's wife.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Like, that's like,
yeah.
Yeah. True. Like, it was not the same thing.
No.
No. But you got it.
But yep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Kat is now like, where is Carla? Where is Carla? You know,
Carla?
All this stuff. Yeah, she called
she called her Carla.
Carla, yeah.
That's right,
she went and she took a step down.
Yes.
Yeah, she was so close. And we've removed ourselves. Maybe Carla is closer. I don't know.
I don't I mean it's Kira.
Carla,
I don't
Kara,
know.
I don't know. Get
I watched
yeah.
I when she said Kira, because she did still say Kira a couple times.
Yes, she did.
When she said Kira, I watched with closed captioning for the first time this week, and the way they spell it in the closed captioning is K-E-R-R-A-H, like Kira or like Kira.
Kira.
Yeah.
This is they must write. I wonder if that's because they typed that off of the script.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're like this is you'll say it phonetically.
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
That's funny.
I think so. I also think it's kind of funny. Like, that almost looks like a Kryptonian name.
Kira.
Zor-El.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You know, so like, funny. Maybe she's closer than we thought.
Yeah.
That would be weird. I wouldn't like that.
But yeah, okay, yeah, I guess she did call her Carla. And there was one moment where when she was talking to Wynn.
Yeah.
Where it was, did you get the feeling he was almost about to be like, actually, it's Kara?
Yeah.
He was like, it's... anyway.
Yeah, he was so close.
Yeah,
and he was
it seemed
like
he was about to say,
this is futile.
Like,
this
no
is
point.
Not going to matter. It's just, it won't matter in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
So we get his excellent, excellent lie of,
so
she was bit by a tick and the swelling and she had the swelling. And in fact, it was many ticks. No,
no
it was just a really big tick.
Actually,
no, it was many ticks.
Small
and
tick.
It was just on her head. It was lice. She has lice.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was
I loved it.
It, was really
it reaffirmed
was
my,
yeah.
Why win is a necessity.
Yes. Yes.
And so I really enjoyed that. Clearly, nobody would buy that lie. My goodness.
And with James like coaching him like through the glass.
Like,
no,
yes,
no,
further. Hi, no. What are you doing? Yeah.
I can't help you.
Yeah.
I just can't help you anymore.
Yeah. Damn this redesigned.
Yeah.
Damn this redesigned.
Why
place.
Is your desk back in front of her office?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Why does she go to you? You're the IT guy.
She didn't know your name 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. She might still not know your name.
That's a good point.
She
yeah.
might have forgotten it.
What's a win?
What is a win? So, So Alex implores Hank to be like, you know, she's done so much for us that maybe you should do something for her. And he's like, all right, well, I already said the skirt was comfortable. So, yeah. So
that was classic, like, guilting him into it. Like, if only someone would help.
She's the worst, again, in the middle of the room. If only somebody had shape-shifting powers that could help her.
Huh.
Hank Henshaw, also known as John Jones, the Martian Manhunter.
Do you know any shapeshifters with red eyes who are the head of the DEA? Oops.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She is the worst. But we do get the red eyes back. You know how I said that we haven't seen the red eyes for a while?
I thought about that.
Finally get them back. Yeah.
I thought about you. I was like, oh, that's a clever way to show us that it is indeed Hank.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Tim's going to be happy.
Yeah, I will be happy. Eyes are back. I did write red eyes in my red pen in my red notebook. Yep. Melissa,
is it bingo? Do you get bingo for
bingo?
That?
It's a bingo.
It's a bingo.
Melissa Benoit's Hank Henshaw impression was spot on.
The way she was walking, the way she was talking.
Perfect.
It was excellent.
I am the director of a secret clandestine organization, a paramilitary group, you know, like, whatever.
You know, at first she didn't say she was the director. She said, like, I'm a member.
Yeah, she's a member. She's an agent.
She made it sound like she was just some other agent.
It's like, yeah, because even Wynn was like synergy or is it energy man?
Don't touch me.
Yeah, don't touch my face. Yeah. That was really good. I did like how she's like, I hunt down aliens or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can handle Cat Grant. Like, no one can handle Cat Grant. It was good.
It was good.
It was an interesting way to make those two characters, those worlds collide.
That's right. Because when else are you going to see Hank Henshaw talk to Cat Grant?
Never.
Right.
Never. But it was an interesting way to make those worlds collide and for him to be in the loop now for that. And for him, and then, of course, as later stated, to realize why Wynn and James are necessary. It's almost like you're even explaining maybe to the audience like why they're necessary.
That's right.
Why this part of her life is necessary. It was all well, and not that anybody, I don't think anybody was like, why are they necessary? Why isn't she just Supergirl all the time?
Sure.
Just in case.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy after their first talk where he was like, that woman makes me miss my alien prison.
I know. That was so good.
That was so good. But when he said alien prison, did you think the DEO or did you think like the concentration camps on Mars?
Oh.
Because I thought like the detainment camps that the White Martians put them in.
Oh, God.
I didn't think about the DEO because he likes it there. You know
it
what
is
I mean?
His place.
That's his, like, he likes it. He runs it. That's his job and stuff. So I'm like, my thought was like, you missed the detention centers on Mars.
That's disturbing.
Yeah. I'm not sure where they were going with that. Either way, I liked it. All right. So nobody knows what the Black Mercy is, right? Everyone's like, oh, no, it's a plant. It's an alien. It's a Maxwell Lord.
Right, right.
Nobody knows. It's Maxwell Lord's face on her. No one knows what's happening.
Get your face off of her.
Yeah. He's like, I'm in a prison. I'm in a collectible box. What do you want me to do?
That was a real, because it was exactly, it reminded me of like Toy Story 2 when Woody is in the glass box.
Yes, I agree. It's perfect.
Yep.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
So we get, Alex goes to Holograph Mom.
Yeah.
And she was like, Hologram Ma.
No, nope.
I wish it was the grandmother so bad.
Then it'd Hologram-a.
It's wasted. I'm upset now.
Yeah.
That's wasted.
One day.
Hologram-a.
When Kara and James have lots of little babies.
Yeah.
That will be their hologram-a.
Hologram-a. Yep. Yeah. All right. Fine. Even though she should have those babies with Wynn anyway.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right. That was a really interesting moment. Your thoughts on that interaction.
It was a powerful moment for Alex to see her getting so worked up and so upset and like, I need this information, please, this is my sister, I love her, blah, blah, blah. But it makes no sense that she was telling all that to a hologram and she should know it.
Right. Well, that's what I even wrote in the thing. I was like, does Holomom care?
Yeah, because she's still just going to say, I don't have sufficient data. Yeah.
Like, she looks like it, but you're talking to Siri.
Yeah.
You're talking to a better version of Siri. Siri doesn't care.
Listen.
Neither does Holomom.
Siri, if she doesn't know something, telling her how much you want her to know it doesn't make her know it.
So Kara is still back. We're back on Krypton in her brain.
Yes.
And she's rebelling against stuff. And we get super baby cousin Kal-El.
Yes.
Who is, what, 10, 11?
Yeah.
Something there. Like that. Yeah. What did you notice about him?
He was wearing red.
Yeah. And
he
was he had a spit curl.
Oh, he did have a spit curl? Okay.
He had a spit curl.
I didn't particularly notice that, to be honest. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that.
That's cool. Yeah. He had a spit curl. I was happy because why not?
Yeah. As you should.
I don't think it's necessary. Grew up on Lois and Clark.
I like
it. Dean Cain didn't have a spit curl.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't. That's true. He had like the slick back hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a Superman hair as Clark and his.
Yeah, kind of.
It was the opposite.
Yeah, really.
It was really the opposite. All right. So Aster shows up because she's like, oh no, Non was mean. He did some nonsense and now I'm here to. And now I told you it'd be back.
It won't stop.
No, it's gonna keep going until Nod dies. There will be nonsense.
Oh boy,
there's gonna be more nonsense now than ever at the end of this episode.
That's true.
So she shows up and she was like, "Oh, Nod did some nonsense, so I'm here to help you with the stuff and whatever." And Alex's first reaction is to try and shoot her. So my question is, Why do people always try to shoot Kryptonians? Don't they just know by now?
I don't know. Especially Alex should know. I don't know. I mean, she turned around so quickly and she immediately took a shot, right? So like,
right.
Was she just shooting whatever was there and then realized that it was Astra? Or I don't know.
I think she realized it was Astra.
Yeah, it was. But you're right. It's constantly. I just watched Superman Returns not that long ago. And, like, there is, of course, the famous scene where the guy, like, turns the machine gun around at Superman, right? Like,
right, yeah.
Why do they do this?
Like, you should know by now, it will do nothing. Here is my point, actually. Maybe it was to remind the audience that bullets don't do anything and that she needs a kryptonite machete.
Oh. Man, maybe. That's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Maybe it's deeper than that. Maybe it's to remind the audience.
That's good. That's good.
I'm going to go with that because it makes me feel better about Alex because I'm like, you should know.
Yeah,
you grew up with her.
I like that. I like that.
All right. So Maxwell Lord is the world's worst negotiator, right?
The worst. Yes.
He's like, how about you let me go? And they're like, no. He's like, okay, how about some Dr. Pepper and Netflix? And I was like, are those two things the same?
Like, is that equivalent to you?
Right.
As good as your freedom?
And
okay.
And Dr. Pepper, really?
Yeah.
That was your choice.
Like you had one
of
choice.
Of all the drinks that you could have chosen.
Yeah.
You went with Dr. Pepper.
I mean, listen, the guy likes what he likes.
You know why I think you went with Dr. Pepper?
Why is that?
Because DC's doing that promotion for Batman v Superman right now on Dr. Pepper cans.
Oh, you're so right.
Yeah.
You're so right. There's a Warner Brothers thing
there
somewhere.
A Warner Brothers thing, yeah.
You're so right.
Yeah, we have to use Dr. Pepper because we have our thing with Dr. Pepper right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bet that's true.
I bet you that's it. And so, well, you know what? I like Dr. Pepper, but still, like,
yeah.
You went with Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm surprised they didn't do, like, I didn't even think about it in the moment, but, like, soda or cola would have been the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kohler. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't, yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought that was
interesting.
That was interesting. So, but anyway, so they come up with this elaborate scheme that, you know, they're going to send Alex into Kara's brain with some optical illusion-y nonsense, you know, with an Oculus Rift, basically.
Basically, yeah.
And
or like a Daft Punk helmet.
Basically. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. They're going to send her in and be like, oh, you know,
send her
back and stuff. And, you know, James, you know, stop Hank if he wants to bring me back because you guys are bros, right? Yeah, you've just met each other today. Sweet. Okay, help me. All right. Not one person in the DEO is capable. Not
Mm-mm.
one.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Nope. It's got to be James.
That's it.
That's okay. Because Wynn would definitely be like, I'll hold him back. I'm not going to hold him back. Yeah. Not going to hold
you
him back.
You brought the press in?
Yeah.
Right. I'm IT.
I'm just IT. I'm just IT. Yeah. I can stay, right? Yeah.
Oh, wait. You're IT? I have an idea. Stranger person who shouldn't have access to any government systems. Why don't you come fix our computer?
Because no one in the DEO is capable. Hank Henshaw does not really run a good organization.
I mean, that's
like
not,
when you really like when you really break it down, he's not doing a great job.
Hire better people.
Hire better
people. Do you think Wynn will work at the DEO by the end of the season?
End of the season? No. Do I think he'll be back? Yes. Mm. Yeah, I think so. Because I think the DEO and their little room are redundant.
Mm-hmm.
I think they both do the same task. So there's no reason for them, from a story standpoint, or a structure standpoint, not to join forces that way. So, yeah, I wouldn't be totally surprised if he'd be back. But see, but as soon as you remove Wynn from Catco, you're removing a part of her normalcy.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know where that, I don't know where that would go. That would be interesting. I don't know. So all in the while, this Hank is still like, "Oh, I'm pretending to be Kara, and you know, I got you your latte with whole milk and all this stuff," and she's like, "No, no, all nonsense and blah blah blah." So they have moments, and so but Alex finally gets into Krypton. She gets into Kara's brain. And she's like, "Oh my God, I'm in Krypton," stating where I am for the audience. You know,
yeah.
Thank you, Alex. Although I guess they didn't know she was in Krypton. Though,
yeah,
her also showing up, she could have been like, "I'm on a place that is probably Krypton, though I'm not sure because I've never been there."
Right? Why was she? Why was she so sure? Like, this must be Krypton. I mean, I guess you would think like, "Oh, this was kind of alien. Where else would Kara be but Krypton?"
Right. I mean, context clues kind of lead you to believe that it would be Krypton.
Right.
But maybe her happiest moment was on a different planet.
Maybe.
Who knows? Either way, Kara has now kind of succumbed to the Black Mercy at this point.
And she's like forgetting her real Earth life.
Right, exactly. And she
hit that planet?
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. And she had her little Hook moment where she was like, "Come on, we're gonna Alex like, come on, we're gonna go home." She's like, "I am home."
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think about was Jack and Hook, where Robin Williams flies up and goes, "Come on, son, it's time to go home." And he's like, I am home. And then, "Ah ha, ah ha, right. Ah ha ha ha, you see, Peter." "He is my son, and I love him dearly."
So good.
Yeah. We don't watch Hook now.
let's watch it.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
We're back, guys.
You can finish this on your own. I want to watch Hook. Oh, man. I love that movie.
Me too.
Dustin Hoffman. Actually, this was a couple years ago now. I was at my parents' house, and Hook was on TV, and I was watching it, and my dad comes in the room, and he goes, "Oh, Hook, good. It was a good movie, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I said, and he's like, "Who's the guy who plays Captain Hook?" And I said, "Dustin Hoffman." He goes, "That's not Dustin Hoffman." He's like, "No, it's not." I go, "Yeah, it's Dustin Hoffman.
I promise."
With a wig. And he goes, "Wow." Like, "I've seen this movie, I don't even know how many times, for 20 years.
Yeah.
I never knew that was Dustin Hoffman." Oh,
so good.
There's a guy who should have won an award for that part.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say what you want about Hook, but the movie is well acted.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Now that our Hook podcast is over, talk for a little while because I can't read my handwriting.
I love these moments. Okay, so when Alex gets in there, it's interesting to me. So I mean, I guess everyone is powered down, right? Because they're on Krypton, so they're presumably at a like human level of strength,
right?
So that's why it, you know, like three or four Kryptonians can come up against her, and she's like not pulverized.
Yeah, she's a DEO agent, and she's, you know,
she's combat trained.
She's combat trained. She cares about her sister. She has that adrenaline pushing through.
Yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah.
God,
you know, thing's interesting. They keep talking about how she's a scientist, or not. Actually, I shouldn't say they keep talking about it. They mentioned it a while back.
Yeah,
haven't returned to it since.
And this one they did.
Well, okay. So until now, but I do find it interesting that she didn't have more. She wasn't more, I mean, yeah, she was very concerned about her sister, and that's what she cared about, but she didn't seem to even notice, like, "Oh, wow, I'm on another planet with, like, different biology, and, like, this is cool, look around, like, I'm on this other planet." You know what I mean? Like,
she had, thinks it'd be, like, very tunnel vision.
Yeah, that was interesting. Not that she should have been more concerned to be like, "I forgot about my sister, I'm here to look at the weird plants," or, like,
right.
Not that it should have been that way, but I just think that I feel like someone, you drop them in that situation, they would at least notice their surroundings. So I feel like they could have played that up a little more.
Yeah, maybe Alex knew that she had to get in and save her sister in a 40-minute
time She definitely knew.
You know, for the commercials, and so who knows? You know?
No, I mean, she definitely was more concerned with her sister than anything
else. Yeah, I guess that's it, but you're right. Like, she didn't even like, "Wow.
Yeah.
You look just like me."
Yeah.
Although there wasn't really, she's a biologist.
Right.
And the only biology around her were Kryptonians who look like
who she's seen before.
Right, exactly. So maybe that's why maybe that's why she just wasn't interested. She's like, "Yeah, I've seen you, you know." And so I was going to say, so everyone is declaring their emotions, you know, like, "Alex wanted me to stop you."
Yeah.
"And you know you care about her." And he's like, "Of course I want to. And, like, of course I care about them," and blah, 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 all this stuff. Meanwhile, Maxwell Lord is just standing there. And he's like, I'm a supervillain. Thank you for sharing all your intent and people who you trust and believe in and all this stuff with me. I'm like,
in front of me.
Yeah. You guys are the worst. Like, the DEO is the worst. No, like, there's got to be a weird, like, terrible alien spell on that place that no one can keep a secret in the DEO.
Seriously.
Because it is not good. It is not a very well run secretive organization.
It's very bad at being secretive. It's very bad.
It's good about being secretive maybe from the public.
Yeah, but it's not very good at that. As good at being secretive as Kara is at protecting her secret identity.
In this universe, secrets are very difficult to keep
apparently
because of Mixel Pitlick or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah, I figured it out. So there's this big, there's the big push and pull
right
moment, and Kara, of course, ultimately decides to reject the fantasy and come out of the Black Mercy.
Yes, yes, yes.
And all that stuff. It was still sad.
It was still sad.
Yeah. Even with all my griping about before, when that moment came, I was like, all right, this is still sad. You're doing a good job. You know, I thought it hit more when she attacked Anon and she was like, you made, like, I had to say goodbye to them twice.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. There was some good emotion there. There was some really good emotion about, like, you made me lose my family and my planet twice. I'm not going to lose this one, too.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That was really believable and relatable, I thought.
Twice. And it's interesting that even Nunn fought, like, he's like, she's not in pain. Like, she's not anything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She will die because she's a nuisance.
Right.
But
she won't be in pain.
But she won't be in pain. I gave her a happy way to go.
Right. Right.
You know. So at least that's something in Nan's corner, I guess.
He was trying to accomplish his goals while also
respecting that of his wife's and his generals. And,
right.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's not in charge. Clearly he's got power issues though. He wants to be in charge. Yeah. Yeah. Well now he is and stuff. We'll get there.
Hey, listen, before we move on, can we have a little talk about something?
Sure.
I want to talk to you about comic books.
Comic books, you say?
Yeah.
Tell me about these.
I like them.
Many people do.
Yeah. As do I. But I buy them.
Oh, interesting. Tell me where you could purchase these things.
Well, I buy them on the internet.
Internet. Interesting.
Yeah. There's this great website called instocktrades.com. Mm-hmm. It's where I get all my trade paperbacks and my hardcovers and stuff. It's a great place to get them. And I get my single issues often at dcbservice.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're really great places. They're really, really great places. I think you really like them, actually. InStock Trades is an awesome place to get comic books, you know, the trade paperbacks and the hardcovers for 45% off sometimes even more.
Mm-hmm.
And DCB Service, you can also save a chunk of change when you're getting your regular, you know, regular weekly comics, even digital comics. I thought that a good comic to talk about this week would be, you know, since we're talking about the girl who has everything and mm-hmm. all that. We mentioned before that was based on an Alan Moore story. Mm-hmm. Well,
V for Vendetta, Watchmen,
exactly,
Joe,
exactly.
We're starting at a gentleman, not the movie,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at that. It's right behind. It's actually right behind you.
Oh, look at that. That's funny. Well, there's a trade paperback called Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, and it contains the story called Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, and it also includes the classic story for The Man Who Has Everything, which is the story that this episode was loosely based on.
Oh.
It's where you've got Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman fighting against, you know, the aliens that bring about the Black Mercy to save Superman. And it's actually even got an DC Comics Presents number 85, in which Superman meets Swamp Thing, which is kind of fun.
Oh, fun. It's really just the Alan Moore package.
It basically is the Alan Moore does Superman package. Yeah. It's got a beautiful cover.
What's the cover there? Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. You know, I've never read Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to.
I know.
It's so good.
I know. People are like, it's like the greatest Superman story ever. And I'm like, I know it
is. It's really great.
Stuff. I've never read it. Yeah.
All right. Well, you could pay $14.99 for it and get the book, and that would be great. You could also save 45% and pay $8.24.
What?
$8.24.
That's nonsense. Can I see that?
No, it's not nonsense. Yeah. Nonsense would be if Nan said it.
Nonsense.
I'm not, and I'm like,
to cart.
I feel like this is like the second week in a row, maybe third week in a row.
Frank is buying this for me.
I'll buy it for you. It's E24. I mean, it's such a good price, and it's such a good story. Man of Tomorrow is such a good story. And it has everything, too. They're both really, really good stories. You can get them both for $8.24 at InStockTrades.com. Really, really good way to read these stories for not a lot of money at all. And DCB service is also a great way to get the weekly comics. You know, if you month to month, week to week, you're reading your favorite books, you could save some money that way and get them delivered right to your door. What I really like is I like to read digital comics. That's kind of my main way, truth be told, of reading comics whenever I'm not reading like trades. And you can buy them on Comixology or My Digital Comics, whatever you want. And if you just go through the DCB service, homepage, go through their little portal, you'll get 5% back. Every time you buy a digital comic, you get 5% back to spend at DCB next time. So, it's a great, great deal for, you know, you kind of feed the thing at both ends that way.
Yeah.
Feed your habit, you know, in two different ways. So thanks so much for sponsoring the show, InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. They're the best.
Cool.
The best of the best.
The best of the bestest. So the DEO, now that she's back, they all go after the Kryptonians, yeah, because there's been this huge, you know, solar flare nonsense going on, and they were like, oh, we'll use the solar flare to our advantage.
Exactly.
Stroke mustache evilly, stuff like that. And so they all split up and go, and Carr's like, none is mine.
Yeah.
You know, said menacingly, but yeah, you know, you could still just boop her on the nose and be like, boop, boop. Yep. And so you get a very talky fight with Non, I thought.
Yeah. There's a lot of monologuing.
There was a lot of monologuing. And I was like, I get it. You're kind of, a lot of you, you're like restating your intentions a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I thought that part of it was missing. But to me, that would also read as, the budget went to the Black Mercy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kellex.
Yeah, and Kellex. So.
And John Jones's face.
And John Jones's face, which is absolutely CG.
Oh, yeah.
After
100%.
I was like, yeah, maybe the budget didn't go to John Jones's face in this episode. And I was like, is he talking? Like, what is his mouth
so
doing?
So he was definitely like wearing the suit, but the face was CG.
The face was CG, yeah. Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like every time he appears, we're like, so what parts of him were CG and what parts were practical?
Yeah, it's like, it's like sometimes it's hard to tell, like, today is makeup. Today is CG.
But this time
it was definitely CG.
The face anyway, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the suit is definitely real, no question.
Yeah.
At this great moment where he showed up and he said something and his cape waved in the wind, and I was like,
so
man, I wanted a GIF for that.
GIF of that.
Just over and over and over again. Interesting that I say GIF and you say GIF.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're wrong.
Yeah. We've been over we've been over this. The G stands for graphic, so right. It should be GIF.
Right.
But the guy who invented it says GIF.
You know what else about the guy who invented it? He's not a linguist.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know what? George Lucas also invented lightsabers, and he calls them
laser swords. Yeah.
So, you know, you can't always go with the guy that invented it. Yeah, it's true.
True.
It's true. Anyway, GIFs. I wanted a GIF of that.
Super girl.
And so we talked about this a little early, but we had a win-winning moment, you know, where he starts working for the DEO magically,
right,
because everyone is there is incompetent.
Exactly. They're inept.
Hey, can you like help me like do stuff? I'm like, how did you get in this clandestine organization? Like,
I know.
Like, God, like, whatever. I thought it was good to see Kara unleash on Non, even if it was very talky. Like, she was not holding back. There was just a lot of,
Yeah. She had a lot of emotion to get out of
there. She punched somebody who could take it. And I,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
She wasn't holding back.
She finally had a worthy opponent.
Yeah, I agree. And I liked his line about how she has the hubris of the House of L.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has this quality mm-hmm. about them. What quality would you say that is, Frank?
Other than hubris? Like what you just said?
The hubris of the House of El.
Yeah, other than that?
There's something that gives them the hubris. Like, there's something about them in that house that gives them hubris.
They just have, I don't know. What is it that gives them that? That gives them that confidence? I mean, I think it's just family values. Like, it's just like the values of their family that get passed on. Because clearly,
confidence is their weakness.
Yes. I mean, Jor-El and Zor-El clearly pass it on to their kids, right?
Both of them. Yeah. So. That's cool. So we get a fight. So while they're fighting, we also get the Astra, Alex, Martian Manhunter fight, which I thought was better. than the...
Yeah, it was more... I was more invested in it in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm more invested in Astra than I am in Non.
Yeah, we've seen more of her.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think Jean showing up was a surprise. I didn't expect it, and so I was invested in that moment. Like, every time he shows up, I don't think it's going to, like, I don't believe that it's real.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, there he is again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's just going to keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
This is amazing.
This is great.
Yeah. Maybe because he looks like David Harewood most of the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true,
to
yeah.
me, it almost feels like two different characters.
It kind of does, yeah, even though we definitely know, or intellectually we know, but, like, it's still like, ah, there's a character that I like.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Just because that's what he looks like.
Yes,
yeah,
I
exactly.
get the same
yeah.
thing every time. I'm like, oh my God, it's freaking Martian Manhunter on my TV.
Yeah, right. You know, like, because I signed up to watch Supergirl.
Right.
I didn't sign up to watch Martian Manhunter.
That was
on my television.
Bonus.
That was a bonus.
That was a bonus. Right.
That was a bonus. Yeah. So it's all good. So Astra's about to kill the Martian Manhunter. You know, yes. like, thought you were the last of your kind.
Yes.
Like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. Well, you will be now. So she was going to kill him.
Right.
She was absolutely going to do it.
Yes.
And so Alex does the arguably the right thing.
Yes.
And stabs her in the back from right. behind. You know, mm-hmm. the noble thing.
Yes.
Know, stabs her in the back with a kryptonite machete. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not pleasant. I liked kryptonite machete, though.
That was cool.
That was cool. It's like half steel, half kryptonite. Did you notice that?
I only saw the kryptonite.
Yeah, the bottom half looks like it's a regular steel, and then the top half is kryptonite, which was, I thought that was cool. Because I don't know if kryptonite would necessarily be sharp in the way that you need steel to
be.
Maybe. So I don't know how that works exactly, but that's what it looked like on my television. So all of that happened, and we get Non is pissed. Kara is sad because Astra was turning.
Yeah.
I think that, Jean would have been dead.
Sure.
But I think maybe given some time, maybe she would have turned the other way. Because we thought about that a couple weeks ago. We thought that maybe Astra would turn on them.
And I was getting the feeling more and more this episode that she might too.
Yeah.
I need to go back and rewatch, but do you think that they dropped any hints throughout the episode that she wasn't going to live?
I don't know.
I wonder if, like, there were anything in dialogue that, in retrospect, we might be like, oh, yeah.
Yes, kind of laying out the there was.
Yeah? What?
There was. She said, Astra said something, I saved Kara saved my life, and I saved hers out of a soldier's, like, duty and responsibility.
Yeah.
I was talking to Alex. She said, I would think that you would understand that as a soldier.
You're right.
And I think that's the hit.
That's foreshadowing that she was going to kill her.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
I think they laid it on pretty thick, and I washed right over it. I didn't even write that down in the notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, very good. Very good for them. I'd usually notice foreshadowing, too, so that's actually, it's very impressive that they were able to
It was just subtle enough.
Yeah.
It was just subtle enough.
It is good.
Yeah.
Do you like that Alex, like, is lying to Kara? I don't think that it's necessary.
You know, yeah, it felt very, I honestly don't think that Kara, I think Kara would be, like, upset in the, you know, usual way, but I think she would have understood if you're like, she was literally about to kill Jean, like,
right.
It was just in the heat of the battle, I had to stop her,
right? But at the same time, she, like, just gave up her family again in the Black Mercy vision.
Yes.
So then to also give up Astra in real life, so maybe that was just too much, because her connection to Hank is maybe not the same as her connection to Astra.
It's not a family connection, it's not the same.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
So, but she's not mad. But she's not mad at Jean for "quote unquote" killing
right.
her. You know what I mean?
I think she would be more upset at Alex for hiding it.
I think
however long she's going to hide it before it comes out.
Yeah. That's not going to end well.
No. There's going to be. There'll be conflict there.
Yeah. So we get all that, but they rescue that little box, right, that Astra puts in the thing, and what does Hank do? He gives it to somebody else at the DEO to do some work. I was so happy. That woman had a few lines, too. I was like, that's the new lady.
That's
the lady who does everything else that, you know, Alex or Hank or Supergirl don't do, or now Wynn, you know.
Right.
God. But, like, I was so happy we got a new worker.
Oh, good. Like, Alex and Hank aren't doing literally everything.
Right.
You know?
Like, he's just really bad at, like, doling out the work, apparently.
It's true.
We get a nice little Wizard of Oz, No Place Like Home you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But she literally milked it. I love that she milked it because that's who she is.
And they all laughed at her for it.
They were like, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I thought that was a nice scene when they got back to her apartment and they were all, you know, with the pot stickers and the ice cream.
That was really nice.
Some good moments there with her and Wynn being like, friends.
Yeah, like, good, you're friends now. Great. Right. Good net reconciliation.
Yeah.
His line was a little weird when she was like, you guys didn't have to do this. And he was like, oh, we didn't?
I thought it was funny.
Like, I thought, like, I get it was being cute, but it was like one of those, like, those are one of those things, Wynn, that you could have not said.
And it would have like been okay. I feel like that's a joke I would have made, yeah. So I am okay with
you. I think sometimes that joke is appropriate. Maybe not right after the death of her aunt, and then quote unquote the death of her whole world all over again.
Yeah,
to
maybe,
her.
Maybe.
Be like, oh, I didn't have to be here.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. It just like I was like, maybe not the best thing. But
timing.
It's fine.
Timing more than anything.
It's
not the
timing.
Joke itself.
It's timing. It's timing. Timing is everything. Yeah. And
she was also like flirting with James.
Yes.
Like, blatantly. Yeah. In front of everyone.
Well, so was he. He was like...
I mean, both ways.
Yeah, I bought Chinese food and ice cream.
Your favorite flavors.
Your favorite. And where's my girlfriend? Not here. Yeah. I did like that he's like, I also brought the alcohol. And she's like, I can't get drunk. And he's like, it's for
me.
Us. Yeah. Like, I don't care about you. I brought you Chinese food and ice cream.
Yeah, come on.
This is for me. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then Wynn and James wrestle over it like the cute couple they will be.
So cute.
Yeah. All that's well and fine. It was a good episode, I think.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, I think it was a good episode.
You know what little tiny thing that I forgot to mention? Mm-hmm. When they're on, quote, Krypton, Kal-El gives Kara that little orb.
Oh, yeah,
sphere.
Yeah, yeah.
That reminded me of... from the Supergirl movie,
the little wand that Peter O'Toole carries around.
Not the wand, but the Omega Hadron.
Oh yeah,
the thing that they're all trying to get for the witchcraft powers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I was like, that kind of looks like the Omega Hadron.
He reminded me of the Da Vinci Code.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of looks like a little sphere.
Yeah.
Thing.
You people could look it up.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
but Da Vinci Code, I see that too. Yeah,
yeah, the little Da Vinci, crypto
thing.
With the
letters and the
apple juice
thing,
acid,
apple juice,
whatever.
And the
vinegar,
blood.
It's vinegar, not apple juice. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
It is just, I mean, some it could be apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I think that's all we have for us today. No, just kidding. Yeah, Cat Grant quote of the week. What was yours? I have mine. I just have to find it.
I actually want to hear yours.
Okay. Well, I have a runner up, but I'm going to go with one.
Do runner up first. Do runner up first.
My runner up. I'm going to give it a runner up because it's not Kat's line that I liked. It's the follow up line that I thought was funnier.
Okay.
Kat says, what's the most important thing that I taught you? And Hank, as Kara responds, no whole milk in your lattes. Yeah. Thought that was a great line, but it's not Kat's.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
But that was one of, that was maybe my favorite line of the whole episode right there.
Yes. My favorite was the, if they try to evade you, make sure to remind them that I'm still holding onto their Hamilton tickets.
So good.
That was
so hyper relevant.
Hyper relevant. This show is not going to age well.
No, it's not. Dr. Pepper, Hamilton, like all these things are really, really like.
Well, the Dr. Pepper thing. I mean, Dr. Pepper's been around for a long time.
Well, sure, but you know what I mean. Like, it's still like Netflix. Like, you know, it's
yeah, it's yeah. We'll see how long Netflix lasts, or when they talk about tweeting or anything like that. We'll see how long those things last. But Hamilton might not. Although at the same time,
if you're watching something and they're like, "I have your Jekyll and Hyde tickets," you're gonna be like, "Whoa, early '90s."
Yeah, but if they said, "I have your Phantom of the Opera tickets," you'd be like, "All right,
sure."
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all right.
So it depends if the show lasts forever or not.
I think it depends.
Like,
I think that really depends if Hamilton ages well or not.
Right.
If Hamilton lasts forever, then this will be okay.
But
like Dr. Pepper.
But by the same token, it's not hard to get Phantom tickets now. Like it was 25 years ago, maybe.
That's true. But maybe they're front row. That's true. Those,
you know what I mean?
I think it maybe holds less significance, but it still sits okay.
Sure. It might,
I wouldn't read into it that
sure,
way.
Sure. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my favorite line as well. Yeah. That was my favorite Cat Grant quote. But the best line of the episode has to go to, you know, Hank as Kara. No whole milk in the lattes.
No whole milk in the lattes. Yeah. That was
good.
That's quality.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So there's no episode next week. There's no
episode this coming week.
Yeah.
Nope. That's the Grammys are on. So that'll be Grammys instead of Supergirl. But then they're back the following week.
Okay.
So
cool.
So we'll be back the following week. I believe that week I will be
away
on vacation. So we will have a sub.
Yes.
At that point.
Calling in a sub.
Calling in a sub. Someone far funnier and more clever than I. So I hope you guys can handle it.
It's just me. I'm talking to myself.
It's in a mirror. Yeah.
But with different voices.
Bizarro Tim.
It'll be British Tim and regular Tim.
What would British Tim sound
it'd
like?
It'd be like, well, now I'm going to sound dumb because I'm calling out to it, but it'd be like, oh, Tim, what did you think about that? I thought it was absolutely delightful the way that, you know, Kara was there and she was like, oh, this is bloody awful. And, you know,
I would listen to that.
Yeah.
I would
definitely listen to that. Yeah. It would be a weird recap, I assure you. I'm sure it would offend all of our listeners in the UK because I would drift into different, you know,
like
it would
northern,
be British,
southern.
It would be northern, it would be southern, it would be parts of Ireland and Scotland and all these different things. It'd be like, oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, here I am, just trying to teach you a lesson, Kat. You know, I'm just trying to be good to you. You know, that it just
so
it wouldn't work out well at all.
This is so offensive.
Yeah, well, you asked.
I did. Yeah. I did.
Not trying to be offensive.
I know.
The only way I can get into a very bad Irish accent is to say Jesus, Mary and Joseph ahead of time. I don't know why. I think that's just my family. I think that's how my family, like, you hear it in my family a lot.
Okay.
So it just rolls that way.
Well, I love it.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. Well, until next time.
Yeah.
This has been Ebenezer Doubtfire. Here. Yeah. Oh, shoot. What was her first name? What's Mrs. Doubtfire's first name?
I don't remember. Tune in next time to find out.
Yeah, right? It's like Eodora Ebenezer. Anyway,
Ebenezer?
No, you do the wrap up. I'm gonna look it up. Yeah, this is my.
All right, guys. If you want to get in touch with us, leave us feedback. Give us your thoughts on anything. Tell us your background quote of the week, anything like that. At TV Supergirl is the fastest way to get in touch with us on Twitter. Or email us, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. We also want to hear your thoughts on the show itself, and what do you think about it? Do you like what we're doing? Anything we could, you know, make better? Let us know. Leave us an iTunes review, or leave us a star rating. If all you have time for is just to hit that 5-star button, we would really appreciate that. But we'd love your feedback as well, so feel free to write that review. Find us on Overcast. Find us on the Satchel podcast player on iOS and Android now. Find us anywhere you can find podcasts, Stitcher Radio, any of those places. We are there. And of course, SupergirlTVTalk.com. You can, of course, hear the podcast there. You find it every week. You can find Corinne's weekly recaps of all the new episodes. It is our home base. So check that out and follow it closely. Did you find Mrs. Doubtfire's name?
Euphigenia Doubtfire.
Of course
that's
it is.
That's why I couldn't remember it, because that's a name.
That is a name.
That is a
huh. All right.
That is a name. You've identified that fire, dear.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, all right.
This has been Tim. And that is Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
Up, up, and away.